gives me great pleasure to introduce tonight our first speaker tonight, Alan.
Come on, Pogo.
Is that it? My name's Alan and I'm an addict. God, I'm really scared. I swear I was going to use something else, but I've been told if you swear you don't get recorded here, and I promised my mum that she could listen to this, yeah? Like a little mummy's boy. I am really nervous, really, really nervous, and what this program's taught me to do is face these fears. Simple as that. When someone asked me to share, I said yes, straight away. And I've had a month to prepare this share, which is fucking dumb, mind now. I swear to God, a month of it, and I've done 101 wicked shares. Monday's was the best, you know, Monday at 2:30 was wicked. I thought, right, I'm going to share that. And I've completely forgot all about it. But anyway, I've handed my will and my life over, so I'll be all right, I suppose. You know, everything's going to be good. Right, I've struggled in this fellowship. Struggled. Having this disease of addiction, I thought, I hated it. I didn't like this. I didn't like what I suffered from. I rebelled against it. I'm really scared. Really, really feared up. I did. I struggled against this, the disease of addiction. Not that I struggled. I didn't want it. I was in denial around it. I just couldn't accept that I could never have a drink again, or never have a puff again, or never do anything again. My life was going to be absolute boring. You know, I needed something in me to function. I started taking smack at 17. Oh, sorry, can I just thank the boys that have come out for me tonight and show me a lot of love? You know, I just want to say that. You know, there's people here that I use with, that I grew up with. And, you know, it's really nice to see us, because I've tried everything, and I see these people here with me tonight, and it's only through NA that I see them staying clean. You know, so I see it with my own eyes that this is the only thing that works for people like us. If you have this progressive and incurable illness that we suffer from, then, you know, this is the only thing that I've finally put my hands up that will save my life, I suppose, that will help me combat this, you know, because it is progressive. For me, it is. You know, if I don't do a meeting just after 2 or 3 days, I'm in trouble, mate. My nut is in bits. Not that I want to use, but I want to act out. I start believing things that ain't true. I'm all over the place. Work becomes cack. Everything, responsibilities go out the window. You know, living life on life's terms for me is really, for this addict, is quite difficult. Do you know what I mean? I don't need much to shy away from things. I'm like a little kid, if I'm honest. I feel like an old man bending over like that. like an Hunchback of Notre Dame sitting there. I've got an illness. I've finally just done my step one out of that green and gold, which absolutely ruined me. Tore me to bits. I shied away from it. It took me 8 months to do it. But looking at it, seeing the unmanageability of things, seeing how powerless I am, and what really stuck out to me was these rock bottoms. You know, how many rock bottoms am I willing to put myself through? How many rock bottoms am I willing to put my family through, my friends, everyone involved in me? You know, it's only through coming to the fellowship that I first heard that when I use, people get affected by it. I didn't understand that. It was all about me. It was all about me, and I ain't hurting nobody. I'm doing this to me. You know, I didn't see that I've hurt people for years. You know, and I just couldn't see that, you know, so it's another thing that I've learned. You know, I've learned loads of things in this fellowship, and the most beautiful thing I've learned is that I don't have to use again. Wow, man, I've had a touch. I've had a right touch. That I do not have to put myself through all that degrading, desperate stuff, you know, because it was, I loved that part in the reading where it says, go on to the bitter ends, because that's what I was doing. I was going on to the bitter ends. And accepting it and become comfortable with it. You know, living in a... I'd sold everything out. When I came to... I went to good old Western to clean up. I've got to get Western in. Do you know what I mean? We're not all fucking... I'm trying so hard not to swear, believe me. Because every other word is F and God knows what, you know? So, I went to Western about 8 years ago. And the guys in here that took me up there, bless him... You know, I drove him mad. I remember driving him bonkers. and I went into this treatment centre and it had no carpet in it, it had no windows in it. And I just thought, you're having a laugh, ain't ya? You know, because I was full of everything, full of, you know, I wanted nurses and I wanted, do you know what I mean? I wanted being looked after, mate. Don't you know, I've been an addict for fucking 15 years, I need looking after, poor me, do you know what I mean? Riddled in it, riddled, absolute riddled. And he didn't even have no, I went there, oh, I ain't even going to go there, but it was a carsy, it was an absolute carsy. And it was the best place for me. It was one of them hours of benefit turnouts, you know, where you've, and I did, I'd run the mill, I'd been in and out of treatment centres for years, getting out of the nicks, and I'd been in and out of dry houses, I'd been in and out of detoxes, I'd been in and out of everywhere, do you know what I mean? And just couldn't stay clean, really wanted to. I started taking smack and crack at 17, 18, and I wanted off at 19. I wanted off at 19 after just six months to a year of it. I wanted off. That weren't in the script about robbing off my mum and doing all this stuff. That weren't in the script. It was nice. You know, some of the boys in here tonight, I looked up to them. I blame them, really. Do you know what I mean? I don't know, I've only brought them here to slaughter them. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, it weren't in the script. When I had a bit of gear, it was lovely. It was beautiful. Beautiful. You know, it took all that, I don't know what the feeling was where I was feeling as a kid. I hear so many different things in NA about how they were feeling in a kid. I don't know how I was feeling as a kid. I really don't know. It was just a complete mess for me. Growing up, I didn't have a clue what was happening. All I know is that when I was growing up, I didn't want to be at home. Being on the streets was safer for me. It was safer. So, you know, and I suppose you grow up with what you've been taught. Do you know what I mean? So I'm growing up again in this fellowship, really, learning how to live life accordingly, you know, learning how to face my responsibilities, learning how to, you know, I'm a father as well. I became a father in this fellowship, which I really thought the chance had passed me. I really thought, you know, that I'd never become a father. And that was the one thing that I always wanted, was to be a father, you know, because my father was killed when I was a kid and it meant so much to me. And she's here, man. I've got a little 5-year-old daughter, do you know what I mean? She just means the world to me. And I couldn't, you know, when I relapsed, I'm only 8 months clean, everyone, and I'm 8 months in again, and I don't know, something's changed. I think I have had enough. But the thing is, I've had enough for all them years, do you know what I mean? But I still kept using. And that's what worries me now. That's what I'm trying to find out about this disease. I'm hungry. I want to learn. I want to learn about this thing that's in me. I need to learn because I kept using all the time. I keep using. So me thinking that I know it all just ain't good for me. It ain't good for me. So my hands are up now. My hands are up. I want to find out what the disease of addiction. I can't even say it. Look, I ain't even saying it. The disease of addiction. You know, I've got to learn, I've got to find out what it's all about. I have to, because I will use again, without a shadow of a doubt. It's in me. I have this thing in me that wants to use when I don't want to use. There's, you know, there's thing, I've ended up using, not even wanting to use. So, you know, this step one for me really was a little eye-opener for me. It took a lot of that denial out of me, it took a lot of, you know, because I can still do that, me. You know, I'm all right having a drink. What, the only reason I ended up banging trouble last time was because I started taking coke with it. If I don't do coke, then I'll be all right, do you know what I mean? Or if I don't do this, or if I don't do that, I have an head that tells me that I'm okay if I don't do things, which is absolute crap. It's a complete pile of cack, you know. So I have to be really vigilant around this gear now. I have to take it seriously. I really have to take this thing seriously, and I'm hungry. I want it. I want to recover so badly, because I want to be a father to my daughter. That's the drive in me, you know. Not only to be a father to my daughter, I want to be a good person. I don't want to be out mugging myself off for a tenner. I really do not want to be out mugging myself off anymore. Done it for years. So, you know, coming into this fellowship, when I came in here, I had no self-worth, no self-esteem, you know, and someone came up to me, I'll never forget it, because I didn't believe in myself anymore, and someone at this fellowship came up to me and said, do you know what, Alan, I believe in you, Oh, it was the most loving thing that anyone ever done for me for years. You know, there's a fella in here like me. I came in these meetings in trouble, valiumed out me nuts, kicking and screaming. Everyone were whatever. You know, I was angry, man. I was angry. Hey, hold on a minute, mate. I'm just starting. Give me the 5 minute slot. Jesus. Yeah, I was angry. I was really angry. I had no hope, no belief. I was going nowhere. I just wanted to... I didn't know what I wanted anymore. All I knew is that I wanted what these people in this room had. And I wanted my life back. And I didn't believe in myself anymore. And this guy came up to me and said, you know what, Alan, I believe in you. And that got me through clean for about 6-7 weeks. It held me. Just that little one little word, you know, I believe in you. That little bit of love and compassion. It really helped me. And that was about 10 years ago, and I've never forgot that. It was at the old meeting over the back there. So, you know, for the newcomers in here, you know, for the people that are just starting out in their journey, and there's a few of us in here, you know, all I've done, even though I've had my ups and downs, I've been all over the gaff, I've still kept coming. I've still kept coming to this fellowship. Whatever happens, you know, I've been wounded, I've been all over the place, my nuts been off key, and I've always stood close to this fellowship, and my life's changed. You know, from someone that grew up on a council estate. You know, I was working with challenging behaviour. I went to college and got A levels. I'm not saying that for I've got an ego, by the way. I've got a wicked ego. I've got an ego the size of London. Do you know what I mean? I've got to do a bit of work on that. A lot of work. Oh, fuck. For the newcomer, it's all about the newcomer, mate. For the newcomer in this room that's just starting out on their journey, it can be done. It's the only way I've seen. It's the only thing that I've seen with my eyes that people can stop taking drugs. And not only stop taking drugs, get a life. Get a life, you know what I mean? And do things with their life and face up to their responsibilities. Because don't get me wrong, when I have my daughter, you know, I have her every weekend. And... I can't wait to get rid of her. You know, I mean, I can't. It's hard. Me and responsibilities are not cut out together. So, you know, if you are just starting out, and I know how hard it is, you know, I'm only 8 months in, the head's screaming at you. It's on you. The illness is right on you. It's telling you all sorts of gear. You know, the first thing I had to do was be honest. Learn to be honest. And I didn't do that. You don't be honest about fucking... Oh, well, yeah. You don't be honest about feelings, you know. You don't talk about feelings from where I come from. You get slaughtered. Do you know feelings? You're having a laugh, aren't you? You don't do that. But for me, I'm a very feely person. I need to talk about my feelings. I need to talk about what's going on for me. I really need to talk about where I'm at. Because if I don't, it sets something else off in me. And then something else starts going. And then before I know it, I can't cope. I can't cope. So I think it's really important that you... I don't know what you've got to do, do you know what I mean? But for me, I really needed to start being honest and start just trying to talk to someone about things. So I just want to say again to my friends, man, that mate, it's lovely. I'll leave it there. Thanks.